We are continuing our journey through the Gospel of Mark. Now, I know Charlie preached some of this last week while we were at camp. We're going to start where he already started, review a little bit of it, and help us get a running start into the next section. So I'm going to pick it up in Mark chapter 12, verse 38. It should sound a little bit like a review if you're here last week. And in his teaching, this is Jesus, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the place of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Well, right away, there's a shock value here where Jesus gathers them in and he says, "Beware of the scribes." Wait. That's the church leaders. That's the spiritual influencers. Those are the people that had the most influence and impact on their people. Those were the people that God entrusted to care for the souls of his people. And so for Jesus to come and say, "Beware of those people," that already is a warning for us. Because at this moment, he's not saying, "Beware of the world," or "Beware of those people outside." He says, "Beware of them." The scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplace. So they would have had these long, elegant robes, where many people were simply in very poor, ratty clothes, just trying to survive. Here's the scribes with these long, elegant, expensive robes. So then you walk through the marketplace, there was no missing who just walked by. You don't have to double check, there they were, right in front of you. And they loved the greetings in the marketplace, so they could walk through the marketplace and people would greet them with respect and with reverence. Oh, and they loved it. Made it all about themselves when they came to the seats in the synagogue. They wanted the best seats. Give me the VIP seats. All the other people can be pushed aside. There's room, fine, but there's not, no big deal. They want the best places. They want the place of honor at feasts. But this is the key thing. The leaders God entrusted to care for his people were not becoming a blessing, but were becoming a burden. So he says that they devour widows' houses. And for pretense, that means like for a show. They make long prayers. And then they will receive the greater condemnation. Not a blessing from God. They will receive heavier and harsher criticism. In this text, I think we're going to see two things. We're going to see a warning and a reminder. Here's the opening warning. Whatever influence and impact God has given you, use that to be a blessing to the people God has put in your life and in your care. You see, the scribes were perfectly positioned to be a great blessing to God's people. The people of that day would be astonished that we have the entire Bible and a phone in our pocket. They wouldn't have a copy. They couldn't comprehend that. "Do you have a copy of the Bible?" "Yes." "What translation?" "What? Well, which one do you have?" "Well, I have all of them." "Where?" "In my pocket." "Huh?" Like, they wouldn't have a category for that. You know why? The Dead Sea Scrolls, which were uncovered in around 1950s in a cave, they uncovered a whole bunch of scrolls that date all the way back. They found one entire scroll of the book of Isaiah. It dates to 125 BC. It's 27 feet long. That's just the book of Isaiah. So the scribes who knew the word, made copies of the word, transcribed the word, hence their name, scribes, they had a unique access to scripture. So when we don't know something, we Google it. When they didn't know something, they would ask the scribes, ask the religious leaders. You see, they were perfectly positioned to teach humbly, to invite people in to be a blessing. But instead of blessing the people, now it's all about them. Oh, they had the best clothes. Oh, they have the best seats, the highest greetings. What should be about service is now about serving them. Now, to my knowledge, nobody here is a scribe or a Pharisee. I want to presume, but I think that's fair. So we're like, okay, what's this to us? Whatever impact, influence, authority, or power we are allowed to have, use that to be a blessing to the people around us and in our lives. For church leaders particularly, this should make us squirm a little bit. Because we would never want Jesus to say, beware of them. No, we want Jesus to say, you are blessed because of them. Elders in the room, I hope this calls us up even further, that we always want Jesus to look at us and go, ah, what a blessing to my people have those leaders been. This is no small task. In fact, it's a great warning for a corrupt system. It wasn't blessing people, it was devouring widows. To be a widow has been and always will be tragic. It will always be difficult. It will always be hard. And it was particularly hard in these days. No safety net, no government oversight. If you're an older person, older widower, you might have limited job opportunities. If you're a widow of any age, employment would be difficult, opportunities would be hard, and resources would be tight. That's why there's this theme all throughout Scripture of caring for widows. They are particularly vulnerable. In fact, in James, he says, you want to know what true worship looks like. You want to know what real religion looks like? It's in James chapter 1, verse 27. He says, religion that is pure, undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. The word visit here is not just like go and see, although it certainly includes that. If you have a different translation, you might see the word care for or look after. It includes all of those. Religion that's pure, it takes the vulnerable and it cares for them. That's pure. Religion that's pure is to look after those who are more vulnerable. If you look at this passage, they have inverted what God has laid out. The scribes have become so stained with the world that they want to impress the world at the expense of the orphans and the widows. And so they flipped it on its head. He said, that's not right. He says, this is a great warning to use what God has given us to be a blessing. Let me go on to verse 41. So Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. So in the temple courts were 13 offering boxes, if you will. They were designed really pretty. I don't know if there was a main one that they sat by, but they sat down, they watched people put money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which made a penny. You may know this story as the widow's mite. The word mite comes from the King James translation of this penny as a mite, or a almost insignificant amount. The ESV translates it as a penny. We know this, that a penny isn't much. I know that a penny isn't much. The government doesn't even make them anymore. I know this, that if you see a penny on the ground and you're over the age of 40, you're not picking that up. The risk reward's not there. You have a number in your mind to pick up once you get over a certain age, right? Because you're doing risk reward stuff. You're not a penny. God, I don't get out of bed for a penny. So she comes and she has a small amount, an insignificant amount. The world isn't moved by a penny. It's not changed by two pennies. Verse 43, and he called his disciples to him and he said, truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Kind of a tricky passage as we think through it. Well, the application certainly isn't give everything you have to have nothing to live on. Nowhere in Scripture does it encourage us to do that. What I do think Jesus is doing is he's pushing back and rightly correcting their system, which was all about the show. We're going to sit around and we're going to see who can drop the loudest and the most coins into the box so that we can feel better about ourselves, so we can look better. You see, their performance was all about the outside, all about what we could show and what we could do. Jesus consistently takes worship, including giving, down to a heart level. He knew their hearts were far from him, that even something as sensitive and as precious as giving and generosity had become this show before them. So he says, she has given more than you. But they would have to be thinking, like, no, she hasn't. Like, I've seen them. They put in a bunch, and she put in two pennies. Like, it's not really that. It can't be. The math doesn't math. But he said, no, she gave from a different place. She gave a different way. I think the reminder for us, church, is that generosity is an opportunity to be a blessing, not a burden to fulfill. Their system was all about a burden, all about the system that you had to try and satisfy or live in. But this system was depressing. Because you think about it, how depressing would it have been to be this woman? I'm never going to give enough. I'm never going to measure up. I'm never going to be enough. They've got a lot. I've got a little. I'm never going to be enough. It's depressing. It's a burden. But generosity should never feel like a burden, but an opportunity to be a blessing. That doesn't matter if it's time, talent, or treasure. Whatever you have to give, you have a great opportunity to be an encouragement, to be a blessing. But can you imagine if generosity then was became a burden to bear? If we were to say to somebody, okay, here's the deal. Each person here has to go to a week of camp. Right? A couple people here are like, amen. A couple people are like, get your purse. We're going. We're out of here. I know where point two is, but we're not staying for it. When serving becomes obligatory, it becomes a burden to bear. But instead, when it's done right, we get to give from our heart whatever God has given us. Whether that's a lot, praise God. Or a little, praise God that he's given you some. Whether he has given you time, praise God that you have this quantity, this thing that most people don't have. You have time, praise God, use it to his glory. You've got some talent, like even like Tyler was saying, I saw how God wove together Tyler and Nick's talents, their natural giftings, and their bent to serve and to lead middle school camp. I was there off and on all week. I was blessed watching them lead. I was blessed by it. The camp was better for them. Using and giving what God has given us to be a blessing, not a burden. And I saw people in the kitchen serving tirelessly so many people could eat. That's a blessing for so many people. There are people that gave so that kids could go to camp. There's lots of people that gave lots of resources so kids could go to camp. That's true. And there was a blessing. There were people that stayed back and they prayed. Not haphazard prayers, full on earnest prayers. We went through Colossians, like I mentioned in the mornings, at high school camp. And then Colossians chapter 4, Paul's given his thanks to the people that impacted their church and their ministry. The church of Colossae and his ministry, two different things. And he gives thanks specifically for a guy who he says has been struggling on your behalf in prayer. Don't think struggling negatively. Think of it positively, like he's been working hard in his prayers. And as a camp, we paused and we settled in on that. And I reminded them that there are people that they may not know and I might not know that at this very moment are struggling in prayer for your behalf, that your hearts would be soft and your eyes would be open. They are struggling on your behalf, that worship would become real and Jesus would be seen as worthy of our worship. There's people struggling right now on your behalf and on behalf of mine as well, so that they could see the fruit of their opportunity to be a blessing. The scribes had a system, but their system devoured people, didn't bless people. I want us to continue to be generous people who are a blessing to people. I want us to be a church led by people that Jesus says, these people are a blessing. He didn't have to say, beware of these people. He says, these people are a blessing. Listen, the weight of this is not lost on me. I just want you to know that. The significance of this is not lost on me. It's a sacred privilege to care for the souls of God's people. I want us to continue to be a blessing, not a burden, a light, not darkness, hope in a world where it seems so hopeless. And I want each of us to do the same personally. Wherever God has given us influence, power, privilege, serve people, don't serve ourselves. Love people and make much of God wherever he has us. Church, it's been a fun couple weeks. It's been an exciting, exhausting couple weeks. But if someone's got to sit front row to see so much of it, it's been a good week. It's been good weeks. And praise God for all he has done with us. I'm going to pray, invite back up the camp worship team, and we get to respond in worship. Let me pray. God, help us to keep our eyes on you. It's so easy to get distracted from all the things in this world. It's so easy to lose our perspective and trying to make too much of ourselves and not enough of the people you've called us to care for. So wherever we are this week and whatever we do, let us worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray in your name. Amen.